Hope everybody's doing well this morning. We're certainly glad to have, we have visitors. We're glad to see all the visitors this morning, and I hope that you'll give us a chance to visit with you and get to know you better. If you came here looking for Mike Bonner, he'll be here during the worship hour. I'm not Mike.
Amen.
I don't think I look like him, but we are brothers. We're going to talk about the principle of salt this morning. Salt, ye are the salt of the earth. And Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. If you're taking notes or you want to compare parallel text, you can compare Mark 9, 49 and 50, Mark 9, 49 and 50, Luke 14, verse 34. Luke 14, verse 34. And we're talking about ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the salt of the earth. Jesus, of course, said this. He said this immediately in Matthew 5, verse 13, after the Beatitudes, the principles of attitudes that should carry forth in the kingdom, kingdom attitudes, the attitudes that that should become or should be Christian, should describe the Christian. And so we're going to look at this in detail. I want to lay some groundwork before we do so. If you have your Bible for a interesting passage, look at the book of Job just for a moment. Job in chapter 6. Job chapter 6. And Job here describing his grief, his deep grief over his suffrage. And I want you to notice how in this he says something about salt. Job 6, verse 6. Interesting passage. He says, "Can that which is unsavory be eaten without salt? Or is there any taste in the white of an egg? For everyone who despises eggs needs to read their Bible." It's interesting that Job, a patriarch, parallel likely with the character of Abraham 2,000 or so years before Christ, after the flood of Noah, of course, describes the value of salt, the value of salt in regard to food. It's an identifiable mineral, it's an identifiable substance that then becomes very valuable. And if I were to ask you about the Civil War, on a date, October 2nd, in 1864, towards the end of the war, Civil War, American Civil War, in a little town called Saltville, Virginia, Saltville, Virginia, occupied by the Confederates, the Southern, there was a war, a battle that took place on that date in Saltville, Virginia. And what would you say or think that war, that battle had to do with? The value of salt. Bloodshed over salt. The Southern Confederate Army, of course, suffered greatly throughout the war because of the lack of supplies, the lack of things necessary and needed for war. They struggled to be able to provide gunpowder, to make gunpowder, and so they would mine out caves for bat guana and so forth to create that sulfurous material that would turn bullets into action, bombs into movement. And they struggled, and yet the Northern, of course, had more industry and were obviously more powerful. But this little town of Saltville, Virginia, there was a battle October 2nd. The Confederates repulsed the unions who came down, and they maintained that town, western town in Virginia, and it was because of salt, primarily. Now, there was a massacre there, too, and so there's some question marks on other issues, but it's interesting. What about this? During the Roman times, thinking about the value of salt, when you think about the value of salt, anybody ever heard of the word salary? How important is your salary? Where does the word salary come from? There's a connection to the old word, and as it morphs from Latin, I believe, to the way the Roman government paid Roman soldiers so that they could buy salt. It was a salary. Because salt was very important. Very important. And so the word salary, you can hear the word maybe saline in there. I just learned something the other day I wasn't aware of. I didn't know this, but the Pecos River. What's wrong or right with the Pecos River? Salty. Is that right? So it might be good if you need some salt, but if you're looking for vegetation or things, it might not be so good. I don't know. Anyway, salt, its value is very noted. And I'm trying to place a foundation so you understand when Jesus says in Matthew 5:13 what he says about ye are the salt of the earth, why Jesus used the description of salt, why he used salt. Here's something else I found relative to, and this is nothing that you're not familiar with, but regarding salt and the effect it has upon the physical body, how important do you think salt is as it is to the physical body as compared to water or food, protein? How important is salt? You die without it, won't you? What is that Gatorade and all that sports drink stuff really about? Getting the electrolytes in your body to flow. The athletes who are burning all that salt. How do they burn all that salt out of their bodies? Sweating it out. You ever taste it sweat? Drip down your face and go, that's pretty good. Maybe not. Here's another one. Relative to salt, how it works in the body. And this is a quote. Salt is one component that sends electrical signals throughout the body. Sodium also causes the body to become thirsty by activating electrolytes. The water then allows the kidneys to distribute a healthy amount of electrolytes throughout the bloodstream, and this action regulates blood pressure. What do we throw out, especially in the summertime, for like livestock? Cattle. Salt. Horses, if you get them some salt, they'll go drink. And that keeps their body kind of moving and functioning. And so, yes, salt blocks are very important. And so, what a vital, vital mineral that God created. And how abundant it is. Now they tell me I have to eat pink salt, Himalayan salt, because it's healthier than the old Morton salt with iodine. And I'm like, okay, what's going to be next in 10 years? So, anyway, eat your pink salt, okay? So let's talk about what Jesus says here in regard to being salt. Maybe I've given you some background. Jesus was very familiar with this, and it's perfectly placed in the Sermon on the Mount. So let's just look at this in regard to especially the Beatitudes. Matthew chapter 5. I want you to notice verses 1 through 12. We won't read through all of them, but just notice how the Beatitudes are the preface or the premise of the entire Sermon on the Mount. It's the beginning. And notice how he says there in verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Verse 4. Verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now I want you to think about that one as it pertains to salt. And if we are the salt, we need to help people see how hungry and thirsty they really are spiritually. All right, look at verse 7. Blessed are the merciful. they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart. Think about that in regard to the element of salt and what it can or can't do. Okay? Does salt affect pureness, purity, preservation? And then look at what he says here in verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers. And then verse 10, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Verse 11, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. And then rejoice, verse 12, principle of rejoicing. And then verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. How familiar were they with salt when he said that? What an interesting thing to say to people, disciples in particular here, but ye are the salt of the earth. What were they close to that was often called the salt sea? How familiar were they with salt? The effect of it. This would have been a very interesting principle for them to hear our Lord and Savior say, you are the salt of the earth. They would have immediately started to think, and I think more so than probably us, because our kids and our people are so far removed from the purposes used 100 years ago with salt. Our kids don't even understand the value of it. They're so far removed from agriculture and so far removed from the dirt and the land and what salt does. So again, ask yourself a question. If you grew up 50, 60, 70 years ago and people would kill a hog, how often did they have refrigeration? But they had what?
Icebox.
They had salt though, right? They had sugar, and they'd figure out ways to do what? For the purpose of preserving that meat. Salt cured pork. How many people have had salt cured pork? Let me ask you a question. Is it saltier than Spam in the can? Someone talked me into eating some Spam here recently, and I thought, okay, it's back in vogue. Everybody's talking about Spam, so I went and bought some, and I thought, ugh, that stuff is so salty. I don't know how people eat that stuff anyway. But salt. Ye are the salt of the earth. I want you to think about it in context, how that would have resonated in their minds when he said that to them. Wow. That's a good point. That's a point that makes a lot of sense. But then watch what he says. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? That's interesting. So two things. First, you are the salt. You have the capacity, the capability of performing and being as salt. Secondly, the salt can lose its savor. How does salt lose its savor in the physical world? Anybody have an idea? Becomes ineffective. How? That's true. If you let salt sit out in the sun, what will happen to it? It'll bleach it out. It'll lose. What happens if it gets diluted in water? It dissolves, and if you add too much of the water, you know, it becomes ineffectual. There are ways that it becomes ineffectual. And so, number two, the salt can lose its savor. And then look at what he says, number three. It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. I want you to think about, again, the value of salt. Salt, number one here, as we lay out some groundwork, and I'm utilizing an outline that was recommended for this class. Salt, number one, is absolutely necessary. We've said enough to prove that, but I want you to understand some other things. You remember Napoleon and his grand army that was marching all through Europe and conquering and so forth? That may have been Alexander the Great, but nonetheless, he was of the same mindset. Some of Napoleon's men died bleeding to death, for they lacked a sufficient quantity of salt. Because salt helps your blood do what? Coagulate. And so if you're shot up in war or stabbed with the bayonet and your blood will not coagulate, then you might die. I want you to understand how profitable then people can be, or unprofitable people can be, in the kingdom of God. You remember John Mark talking about salt being absolutely necessary. We are the salt of the earth. The Apostle Paul speaks of John Mark in great favor and says he is very profitable to me in 2 Timothy 4, verse 11. Ask yourself a question: how profitable you are if you are the salt of the earth. But then think about it from this standpoint. Who is unprofitable? Who is unprofitable? You ever heard that statement, are you worth your salt? It comes back to this idea of the value of salt. Well, I maintain that you're all valuable because God created you. You may need to find your value, but you need to do something. Now, I'm going to make, again, practical application as I get through this. And I know I'll run out of time, but I want you to think about this. How many people have not tapped into their value because they simply will not try and they allow fear to control them? Y'all realize before I ever preached or spoke, the first time I ever did this, I was so scared. I literally cried through the entire lesson. And I want that lesson to disappear from the face of the planet and never be heard again. But it's still out there.
Yeah.
But the point I'm trying to make is man, trying was hard. It was real hard. I probably didn't sleep for a week. But what happens if you don't try? You won't learn anything either. You won't experience things. You won't learn from your mistakes. I think people fail because they never try. And I hate failure. I hate it. But maybe it's the hatred of it that makes me just want to keep on trying. I don't know, maybe that's pride. But I want you to think about the effect that you are valuable, salt is valuable. Never say, I'm a nobody. Don't say that. Find your value. Find your value. Capitalize on it. Do something. Listen, salt works at the expense of itself. Number two, salt works at the expense of itself. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost, Luke 19:10, but he did it at the expense of giving himself, giving his life. Think about how salt, again, is absorbed. It's given. Here's an interesting quote, and I got it from the same material. It's at the end of it, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it in there. How many of you have ever said that maybe like Solomon, you know, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about the loss of life and what happens when you die to all your physical possessions. Well, someone else is going to get it. And what joy is there in that? You know, you have to die and leave it to someone else. And of course, he's looking at things purely from a perspective of under the sun, without any sense of eternal reward. And so as he concludes the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, this is the whole of man, to fear God and to keep his commandments, for God will bring everything into judgment. Talking about value and salt at the expense of itself, if you pour your life out as a sacrifice, as a drink offering, so to speak, as another reference in the Bible, you pour yourself out as you're supposed to. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave himself. Salt at the expense of itself gives up itself. But how many of you have ever thought that, well, when I die, there will be nothing left? Is that true or false? If you poured yourself out, will your influence go on? Think about the residual effects you may or may not have as an individual who is salt in a world, and you die and go on. Brethren, I'm reading from an outline that a man wrote and put together. I don't know when, but he's dead and gone. And I learned some things from him. Don't say, I'm a nobody. Realize that you are salt and you have great value. But here's a maybe better question. What is Christianity costing you? What is Christianity costing you?
It doesn't cost us anything.
Okay. Don't disagree with that. But when I say that or I ask that question, I think of it this way. What do you have to give up in this life? What does it cost you?
Well,
for that reward.
It should cost you your life. It takes your entire life.
Does that make sense? Sacrifice. The whole idea of laying by and giving back has to do with sacrifice. Your life. Sacrificial. So, when Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth," these are principles that can be drawn. I want you to think about this. Another good point. Number three, salt must come into contact with substance in order to be effective, preserved, flavored, to be influenced. It has to come into contact. It has to come into contact. When you think about that, think about the importance of preaching, the importance of evangelism, the importance of your example. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, what is the next thing that may perhaps highlight, I just gave you a hint, the idea of being an example? Look at verse 14. What's the next thing he says there in Matthew 5?
Light of the world.
You are the light of the world. Very interesting to me, again, the purpose of this principle. It has to come into contact. It cannot be just in a jar. It has to be used. I love to barbecue. It's fun. Anybody ever barbecue? One of the fun things about barbecuing is trying to get that flavor profile figured out. Now, I ate some barbecue the other day, and it was pretty good, but it wasn't very salty. Remember I said that? I said, I like that salty meat. I like that salt, but I don't want it just on the surface. I want it to have kind of permeated through the whole brisket. That's me. Now, you may like it different, but I like that salty profile. But in order for it to get salty profile, how does it have to have that? Can you just put the salt on there right before you throw it on the fire? I don't know about y'all, unless you've got a way to do that. You might inject it or something. I don't do that very often, but I like to rub it down. How many of you like to take a piece of meat and rub it down and get your hands all in it? Yes, sir. Because I enjoy that. But nonetheless, you see the idea there, making contact. How about you with your life with others? Can you ignore people? Again, I am telling you it is so important to listen to people, get to know people, and say some things. Help them. Say helpful things. Say needful things. The idea of influence, being salt and light in this world, is so important. We obviously have mentioned this. Again, salt, number four, preserves and presents. Prevents. Meats are salted to preserve them. Christians are the salt of the earth, therefore, the earth is going to be burned up. 2 Peter 3, verse 10. If Christians are the salt of the earth and salt preserves meat, then let me ask you this. What is our business as Christians, as salt in this earth? The earth's going to be burned up. I'm not worried about preserving the earth. So if you're a tree hugger, come on out to my house. We'll hug on some of these mesquite trees and see how you feel about that. I'd rather hug people. Because what am I in the business of trying to preserve? Sanctify. Set apart. People. We're in the people business. It is difficult for me to understand how people who want to save their own lives, become a Christian, see the value in their own soul, do not want to go to hell. Do you see that value in yourself? I don't want to burn in a lake of fire. I don't want to experience that eternally. So therefore, I desire to be saved from that torment. Is that pretty correct of most of us here? But recognizing that value in my own soul tells me that I ought to have something else for my fellow mankind. You are the salt of the earth. What kind of an effect are we having upon others? Do we place value upon others' lives? Do we help them see the value they have? Do we help foster that? The opposite of that would be just a pure self-centered, again, mindset that has no effect whatsoever, residual effect, any kind of influence on anyone to help them see their value. One of the things I enjoy doing is trying to see the value in other people. Because it takes all the miserable things I've done away from me. So to try to help other people helps me think less of myself. That's value. That's salt. And I'm not trying to boast, but I'm just telling you, I have to stay focused on that. I think I spent too many years of my life thinking about just me. I'm married for more than 20 years now, or almost, is it 20? I don't remember now. I've quit counting. But I'm still figuring her out. I'm still figuring out how she ticks. How many of you agree to that?
She is in class.
I've got verifiable information here. But I try to listen. I really do. I really do. She said some things last night. I won't tell you what she said. That's another story. But I want you to know, honey, I heard you last night. I did. I heard what you said. And what you said to me was interesting on various levels because I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't thought about it because I don't know everything. I'm not omniscient. None of us are. But again, if I desire to do better, I've got to be listening. You see the point of that? Because I want to do better. I want to help preserve. I certainly don't want her running off with another man. All right. Number five. Moving on. Too many. Number five. I've already said this, but salt does purify. If you want to look at a text, look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. And notice this interesting reference to salt. 2 Kings chapter 2. Elijah and Elisha, the mantle and so forth, the context here. Elisha. Look at verses 19, the bear and so forth. Verse 19, and the men of the city said to Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant as my Lord seeth, but the water is not and the ground barren. And he said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. And they brought it to him, and he went forth unto the spring of the water and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. Salt is a purifying agent. Now, I don't want to remove the miraculous, the power of God, but it's interesting that salt is used there because of the recognition, the identification of what it does. Salt is a purifier, removing, again, impurities from cut feet. How many children would love it if you took a cut and said, come here, son, and you took some of those big chunks of that pink Himalayan salt, again, I'm back on that, and you rubbed it all over that wound. They're already screaming when the sweat from camp is pouring into that cut, you know, and they can't stand it. It might be helping them. There you go. How many people have taken Epsom salt baths? It's good for you. It's good for you. It's good. And so, again, the idea there is abundant. It's very interesting, again, the nature of salt. But again, salt can be destructive. If you throw too much salt on the grass, on your lawn, what can it do? What will it do? Too much? It'll burn it up. So there's this sense of balance when it comes to salt as well. So I want us to remember, as Jeremiah was told in Jeremiah 1:10, as a prophet, he would be sent to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. But it also says in Jeremiah 1:10, he was there to build up. Think about it. Ye are the salt of the earth. Now here's one. Man, he's salty. You ever heard that? You ever heard that? I've heard that. Man, he's salty. What does that mean? He's like that Spam. He's too full of himself. He's too salty. He needs a little bit more water. So you see the balance. I mean, Jesus certainly would have implied balance in this. And so then, as I said just a moment ago in the Beatitudes here, look at this idea. Salt creates thirst. Salt creates thirst. This is where I really want us to think about the benefit of being salt. Look at Matthew 5 and notice again what it says. Remember in the Beatitudes there where it says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake." Look at verse 6. "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Ye are the salt of the earth," verse 13. If salt creates a thirst in animals in you, a desire to be filled with that water, that balance, then how are we to handle ourselves as parents? Can we help create a thirst for righteousness if we are the right salt? How do we do that? How do we do that as parents? Do we as parents always have the perfect answers? Man, I don't. I found myself here lately having two teenagers now saying to them, "I think what I'm doing is right. And I'm going to stick to what I've said. But I have the right to change if I find out I was wrong. But I will regret my decisions one day if you use me as an excuse for unfaithfulness." I want you to think about that. I've said that. Because I don't always know. It's a constant balance. It's a constant juggle. I don't want to be too salty. I don't want to be watered down, diluted, worth nothing. But it's a challenge being a parent, is it not? How many of you got it all perfectly figured out? Come talk to me, please. In fact, I'll send you a couple. You can straighten them out. All right, so again, salt is, again, destructive. Salt creates thirst. That'd be the number 7 point. Many Christians today, because they were inspired by happy, and this is the words of Wendell Winkler, were inspired by the happy, spiritual, and wholesome life of a parent, companion, schoolmate, fellow worker, neighbor, friend, or teammate, are thirsting. They're hungry for righteousness. They saw example and influence. How many of you are here because of good influence in your life? Here's one that's interesting to me on that. I'm here because of that. I mean, we all are. Somebody influenced you. They were salty. Now, here's the idea. I've met people that I held in great esteem. I remember thinking, man, he walks on water almost. But then when I got to really know him, I realized, yeah, I don't know about this guy. Found out some things. Because he's a person. And then there were others that were with me the whole time, and I still to this day hold them in high regard. Why? Because they were the salt of the earth. their influence still permeates through me. There are some people, again, that I misjudged and I look at today and I say, no, no more influence on me today. But as an influence, as an example, you are the salt of the earth. Think about your influence on other people. You are the salt of the earth. Again, we mentioned Job 6, verse 6. It gives flavor. Can you imagine what this world would be like if it was all bland? Now, this immediately makes me think of that bread, that manna, that was given from heaven during the days of the wandering in the wilderness. You remember that? And I want to be careful how I say this, but do you remember the complaint of the Israelites?
No flavor in my
faith. Yeah. So there's got to be a balance, because God was giving them perfect sustenance. His will, His law, His principles are always perfect for the time in which they were given. Patriarchal, Noahic, so forth, so on. Today, the New Testament, perfect law of liberty. It's perfect for us. But how many of us, and perhaps this is a bad parallel, how many of us get weary? We grow weary of coming every first day of the week and partaking every first day of the week of the same old unleavened bread and fruit of the vine, and it becomes dull. Is that a challenge for us to stay focused? And remember, I'm asking if it's a challenge. You need to think about that. I think as a younger person, you might misunderstand and misquote, have the wrong ideas. But let me tell you something. When you continue to analyze the will of God and why He put the first day of the week in place, is it good for us? Is it for our best to stop, come to worship services, and to remember the Lord's sacrifice? So be careful to grow weary with God's sustenance, to grow dull. And you think about that as you consider Jesus is the bread of life, John 6:35. I hope he never becomes dull or unsavory. Look at verse number 9 here, point. Salt blends. When salt is placed in food, it does not diminish. Or it cannot dominate. It rather blends in, brings out the best in other ingredients of the dish. It's a food enhancer. It's a flavor enhancer. There's a flavor to that white in that egg, whether you like it or not. There is a flavor. By the way, when you're drinking water, and kids hate water, they say it's flavorless. No, it's not. It tastes like hydrogen 2, right? H2. Oh, what you've just tasted is hydrogen and oxygen put together. Does that make sense? That's the flavor of, so you're tasting it, okay? That's what it tastes like. So, and you got to have that too. You can't live without it. So enjoy that taste. Start adding too much sweet and sugar to it, then it gets you in trouble. All right, it's a penetrating thing. Salt is penetrating. We could talk a long time about that, and my time's gone. Let me give you two more to think about. Salt speaks for itself. I don't have to go around with a placard saying I'm a Christian, but by our words, our deeds, our works, our attitude, others will come to know that we are His disciples. I went to a fundraiser last night, and I knew at the fundraiser it was for baseball. I knew that they were going to have beer there, but it was set off to the side. But here's what caught me, it was interesting to me. It was a secular thing. I mean, it was not a big party. There wasn't dancing and all that stuff. And I didn't see anybody acting crazy. But nonetheless, I saw a few of our neighbors come in. And, of course, they went over and got them a beer. But guess where they didn't come sit? At my table. I didn't have any influence on them. No, that's just the point. I must have had some influence on them. Because guess where they saw me going this morning again? I mean, it didn't bother me. I went over and said something to them. But you see, salt has flavor, but I thought it was interesting. One of my good neighbors, I really like, I didn't know he drank. I didn't know if he did. Most people probably drink in the world a little bit. I don't know. But he went over and got him a beer, and then he went over and sat down at the table, and he didn't come sit down by me. And I had his two kids in VBS 3 times last week.
Was it out of respect for him?
There you go. I don't know. That's a good question. I would I don't take it disrespectfully. I didn't take it personally.
Respectful,
yeah. So I find it's just interesting. So again, and then finally, just might take note of this. Salt speaks for itself, as we said. The presence of salt makes a difference. It makes a difference. You are the salt of the earth. Do you or do you not make a difference in this world? Christians must make a difference in this world. Or as Jesus said at the end of that passage, what's it worth? So how salty are you? How you doing? Think about your saltiness. It's an old principle that's very interesting. And I appreciate your time and attention. Any comments, questions, anything? Okay, well, thank you. I didn't hear a bell. I can't remember. I hadn't taught this class in a while. Yes, ma'am.
The lamb from heaven, but it didn't have any salt at all.
I don't know that.
She'd say, that's not worth the salt that goes in the bread.
Yeah.
And I wondered if that had already somewhere or another.
Yeah, it's a good point. Good question. Yeah. You know, salt is not a leavening agent. You could actually have salt on that. It won't stir up anything. But salt is not a leavening agent. We have to eat unleavened bread, right? Anyway. Okay, I appreciate your attention. And.